Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One more time, a happy Valentine's Day to you. I hope that you had a sweet Valentine's Day full of lots of chocolate and flowers and cards and surprises. And if it wasn't a Valentine's Day, then I hope you had an awesome Thursday. Either way, we are getting so close to the weekend, and I'm glad that you've tuned in yet again. Good news, I have my phone today. Thank you for caring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you must text me, well, text away, because I'm ready. So many of you sent me really kind messages. You didn't have to do that, so I appreciate it. It wasn't quite as prolific as the holidays, but the fact that you take time out of your Valentine's Day or any other significant day and you let me know you're thinking of me is not lost on me. So thank you for doing that. I'm sorry I can't respond to all of them because no one wants to see that on their Twitter feed, but you are very kind and it means something to me. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Boy, do we have a cool mix of stories on tonight's show. First of all, most importantly, it is my favorite thing that we do on After Hours. Going back to the very first day when I, like a dope, was talking about a Hall of Fame, and instead it came out Hall of Flame. But it was brilliant. An incredible Hall of Flame experience was born. And for those of you who don't know what the Hall of Flame is, you're not alone because Dave will be experiencing his first Hall of Flame induction here on After Hours. So we're going to say, bye-bye, Thursday. Get thee behind me, Valentine's Day. And we're going to move forward into a Hall of Flame Friday or a Hall of Flame Fri-yay. So that's coming up on this edition of the show. And the way it works is we will give you four pieces of audio that we've been saving for the past month or so. And you get to pick which one will be inducted into the After Hours Hall of Flame. So you'll want our Twitter. Our show Twitter is where we'll put the poll up. After Hours CBS. You can find me, A Law Radio. I'll retweet all the polls, of course. And then our Facebook page, where generally there are photos. So again, it's a Hall of Flame edition of After Hours, and we're going to need you to vote because before the end of the night, we will have crowned, inducted, fully inducted, as a matter of fact, with a bust and everything, a new member of the After Hours Hall of Flame. So that's coming up on this edition of the show, and your first opportunity to hear the audio will come up sometime in the next hour, okay? So you don't want to miss it. I'm still trying to decide what order I want everything to go in as we start the show. People ask me all the time, do you have specific notes? Do you have outlines? Do you write everything out? No, no, and no. I take a bunch of notes, and sometimes it's fly by the seat of my pants. I generally know which stories I want to start with, at least in the first couple of segments. And sometimes I have more to say about those stories than I thought, and so things get bumped back. And I try to start the top of every hour with something significant, but it doesn't always work out that way. So no, I have notes, and when I get to the particular subject, well, then I use those notes. But I do know sometime in the next hour we'll do the Hall of Flame inductees. They'll line up, and you can decide which one you think deserves to be inducted. Also, the outcry among Major League Baseball players and managers reaches a fever pitch. Now, as pitchers and catchers, as well as position players, are beginning to report to the Cactus League and the Sunshine League. Wait, is it the Cactus League and the Sunshine? Does that sound right? Why? I don't know why the Sunshine League doesn't sound right to me right now. Anyway, spring training. I probably should have stuck with that. As baseball teams begin to report cactus and grapefruit, but you need sunshine to grow grapefruit. See, that's the deal. There goes the perfect show. Oh, no. So as pitchers and catchers and every other manner of baseball personnel reports to spring training, well, of course, they're all speaking about what is this, I don't want to say unbelievable storyline, but surprising at the very least. The fact that you've got two humongous names who have not yet signed deals in Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and we have investigated, we've picked apart all the different reasons why. The managers and the players, they're towing one line, and the teams, the owners, the front offices, they're towing another. And right now, it's a bit of a stalemate. And it's not just those two. Unless I missed something while I was taking my, it was a very brief nap on Thursday. Well, Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell are still not signed. There are plenty of names out there who are not beginning spring training with a new team. And critical mass is what we're feeling from Major League Baseball players and managers. So you'll hear from them. Again, more of them are available right now because more of them are reporting to spring training. Also, did you know that Colin Kaepernick turned down an opportunity to play football again? In a manner of speaking. How about, let me rephrase. He made it impossible for a team to hire him. He had a football opportunity, and he essentially priced himself out. So we'll explain that coming up. And the guy who survived the mountain lion attack, we get his account. You guys, he told the story, and I mean very specific details. Travis Kaufman, remember him? He was the runner in Fort Collins, Colorado. He was on his way to Horsetooth Rock, for those of you who are familiar with that area. And a mountain lion, 80-pound juvenile mountain lion, starts chasing him and then attacks him. His account is, I mean, it's extremely detailed. And you could almost imagine yourself being in that situation. So you'll hear from him. I saw the photos of Travis. He still has some bruises and some scars, some places on his face that are healing from where the mountain lion attacked him. So yeah, really jarring stuff from Travis. Thankfully, he is okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've reached the all-star break. All is quiet in the NBA. But did you know the Currys are taking over Charlotte? Did you think about that? It just dawned on me not that long ago that Steph Curry is heading home, essentially, to Charlotte. Can you imagine how many family and friends he will have, not only in the arena, but just in general, in town, to want to be part of his homecoming, so to speak? So we're going to spend some time with Connor Letourneau, who covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. And he was there last night at the game where Steve Kerr got bounced. Oh my gosh, Brian Wheeler. Any good opportunity we have to let you hear Brian Wheeler's call of Steve Kerr getting ejected, oh, we'll find a way to do it. So he was there when Steve Kerr got ejected in the fourth quarter. And then on Thursday, he hops on a plane to get to Charlotte to be ready for the Currys taking over the city. Curry! And so we'll talk a little bit about the All-Star break and what's coming up and what this means for the Golden State Warriors. Is there trouble in paradise? It's a question that a lot of people have been asking because of the Kevin Durant, Draymond Green situation, blah, blah, blah. Of course, that drama's been lost a little bit in the New Orleans Pelicans drama. They were one of the six teams who were on the court on Thursday night in the final three games before the All-Star break. And wouldn't you know, Anthony Davis is injured again.
Bounce pass to Okafor. Down the lane against Adams. Throws out wing left to Randle. Randle drives the elbow. Pass fake. Shoots. Got it. Just in time. The shot clock was about to expire. 115-104. Julius Randle with 25 points. Holiday inside, goes up and scores. Up strong. It's all Drew now. He sneaks underneath Westbrook for that one, and Drew Holiday have a game, 30 points. New Orleans has a foul to give. Oklahoma City does not. Each team has two timeouts remaining. Crossover dribble from the right wing. Holiday under the rim. Leaves it inside for Randle, who scores past Adams. Timeout OKC. Holiday over to Miller, angle left. Inside the paint. Randle again. Fades from the crowd. Shoots and scores. Six-footer for Randle gives him 31 points.
In the absence of Anthony Davis after his 16 minutes and a shoulder injury, the rest of the Pelicans, well, Pelicans don't soar, but they were diving deep for great fish. No one's ever used that analogy before to describe playing well in an NBA game. But that's what Pelicans do well. They grab up an entire big mouthful of water and fish. It's really impressive to see them dive. Have you ever seen them dive? It's awesome. On the shore, if you ever go to the beach and you sit there long enough, you're pretty amazing. But I digress. So these young Pelicans, well, they did well without Anthony Davis. Maybe because when you take this piece, this awkward piece, which one of these is not like the other piece, away from the team and off the court, well, the chemistry is actually better. And as you hear with Sean Kelly on the Pelicans Radio Network, they were able to down the Thunder 131-122, 131 points for a team that only had Anthony Davis for 16 minutes. Julius Randle, 33 points, 11 rebounds, and he was really big in the final few minutes of the fourth quarter. Drew Holiday had 32 points and actually defended Paul George really well. However, Anthony Davis and his best friend and agent, Rich Paul, left during the second half of this game to get an MRI. We'll expect those results coming on Friday, but he looked like he was in a bunch of pain. A shoulder injury on the left side. Don't look for any sympathy from head coach Alvin Gentry, because he's done. I mean, he's done with it.
I'm happy for all of them. You know, because to tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job.
So Alvin Gentry will admit that it's been a bit of a dumpster fire. Well, good. I'm glad that he is acknowledging it. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, this is a serious injury for Anthony Davis, or even if it's not extremely serious, but it's one that could keep him out for a few weeks, maybe. Maybe he doesn't play in the All-Star game. Could these be the last minutes that Davis saw with the New Orleans Pelicans? Because it kind of feels like they operate a little better without him. I'm not saying they're a better basketball team, but there might be better synergy there without Davis on the court. And you know what? Gentry, like I said, not only is he done talking about it, done with the drama, he just wants to move forward. I'm not sure if that's possible, but he's trying.
Don't know if he left the building or not. I have no idea. Then he left the building. I'm happy for the guys that, you know, that played the game and we won. Hey guys, I'm going to talk about the guys that played. They did a great job. We found a way to win the game. That's what's important.
What was that? Did something break? Was that Steve Kerr's whiteboard again? Wait, can we hear that noise? I need to analyze that noise at the end.
That's what's important.
Did he hit someone's microphone? I mean, sometimes I talk with my hands and I accidentally smack into the microphone, but it felt like he dropped something, maybe chucked something, maybe a pen. Sometimes when I get frustrated, I chuck my pen at the double pane glass. I used to throw my pen at Tom. He knows that. It's a good thing there are double panes there, because the pen never actually got to him. I feel you. I feel you, Alvin Gentry. This has been, it's been a trying time for the New Orleans Pelicans. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We have officially reached the NBA All-Star Game, and we'll talk more about how the Currys are going to take over Charlotte coming up in 25 minutes here on the show. But straight ahead, this is incredible. The guy who survived the attack of the mountain lion tells you his story. And wait till you hear what he says about the moment he realized what was happening.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that seems apropos. A fight for your life. Okay, it's maybe not that dramatic for us. We're just doing sports radio for a living. However, we're fighting for the weekend. We got through Valentine's Day and Thursday and heading downhill. And can I just tell you, all day long you watched our video, our edition of Pre-Law that we posted 24 hours ago, in which we introduced the topic. I wish for you this Valentine's Day someone who loves you as much as blank. And we asked you for sports analogies. Well, you guys put them on our Facebook page and tweeted them all day long. And some of the late arrivals, so for those of you who listened to the podcast or you didn't see the video until the middle of the day on Thursday, the answers were awesome. I really got a kick out of them. So I'll go back and review some of the ones that you posted late, you stragglers. But I do appreciate that you sent so many messages in response to our video. And also, we're chugging along, making a lot of new friends and new fans on our Facebook page too, which is fun. Although, did you guys see what's happening with the Facebook page? They've got some new thing. I don't know if, can you check someone else's Facebook page? Go to Tom Brady's Facebook page and see if this is happening there, or Giselle's. They have a lot of followers, a lot of friends. There are these little white stars in gray circles, and they're above a person's name who posts on our Facebook page, and next to it, it says top fan. Except that there's a top fan designation for pretty much everyone who posts on the page. So what does that mean? And they just popped up all of a sudden, and I feel bad. I don't want to break it to these people that we didn't actually call you a top fan ourselves. Maybe Facebook thinks you're a top fan, but Facebook is a bit of a, it's a bit of a crock most of the time, so I would be careful. But we're so happy that you're fans. I just don't know where the top fan label came from. So is it on other Facebook pages too? Oh, interesting. Facebook's trying to scam you. Be careful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Travis Kaufman, not the American boxer. I had no idea, but apparently there is a professional boxer who represents the USA, who's also named Travis Kaufman. No, Travis Kaufman, the 31-year-old trail runner who got attacked by the mountain lion in Fort Collins, Colorado, as he was running to Horsetooth Rock, he is now speaking out about this ordeal. And we pulled out the best parts as he tells this story. But something that struck me, he said if he had been wearing headphones while he was running, he never would have known that the mountain lion was behind him. So this is his account, and pretty amazing what he says when he realizes that the animal is in fact tracking him.
About a quarter mile into that run, I ended up hearing some pine needles rustle, like a stick break, and I turned around and just was pretty bummed out to see a mountain lion chasing after me. So I stopped and I threw my hands up in the air and I started shouting, and unfortunately the shouts didn't deter it, so it just kind of kept running and lunged at me. It was going toward my face, so I threw up my hands to kind of block my face, at which point it grabbed onto my hand and wrist, and from there it started to claw at my face and neck, and that's when kind of my fear response turned into more of a fight response, because I realized how close it was getting to my eyes, and it got a claw in my lip, and I tried to throw it off me at that point, and then we took a little tumble down the south side of the trail, and down there just kind of had a little wrestling match, at which point I was able to get on top of it, pin its back legs so I didn't get any soft tissue scratched out in my nether regions. And at that point, I was grabbing around for sticks. I only had my left hand free. My right hand was still locked in its jaws. Tried to get at its neck to see if I could stab it in the neck to get it to release. That wasn't working. The sticks were breaking. So then I picked up a rock that I had seen kind of near us. It was pretty heavy and it was kind of hard to wield. And I tried to give it a few bashes in the back of the head, but fortunately I just kind of had a tough time swinging it with my arm still locked into the cat's jaws. Really wasn't working too well at that point. I knew with two pretty good blows to the back of the head that it didn't release, that I was probably gonna have to do something a little more drastic. And then I was able to kind of shift my weight and get a foot on its neck.
Wow. Travis Kaufman, who, by the way, is 5'10", 150 pounds. So the mountain lion was a juvenile, and they determined it was about 80 pounds. But this guy, he's not even double the weight of this mountain lion, who's a trained hunter. Trained, you know what I mean? An instinctive hunter. He's been trained by his mom and his dad. He knows what he's doing out there. And he had a tooth into Kaufman's wrist and another into his thumb. And then he was getting scratched with the front claws. And as you can imagine, the back legs were scratching and clawing as well. I mean, I just have two house cats. They're declawed in the front. But when they're trapped or they're cornered, they feel like they're in a scary situation. They will use those back claws. I've been gouged before by the back claws of my younger cat. And so he says he managed, after they rolled down this embankment, he managed to get on top of this thing and use his left leg to pin down the cat's back legs, and then was trying to fumble. So his arm is in the jaws. His right arm is in the jaws of this mountain lion, and he's picking up sticks and rocks and trying to hit it in the head. And the cat still is not releasing him at this point. And as you can imagine, this is going on and on. At some point, Travis has got to be pretty tired.
I stepped on its neck and then eventually was able to suffocate it. And then it finally released from my wrist. And then after the incident, after I was able to finally get it to release by unfortunately killing it, I was able to run back to Towers Trail. But that whole run back, I was on a crazy high.
I can imagine. He's bleeding, but he just survived with his life. He says the fight lasted only about 10 minutes, but that it felt like it was a lot longer than that. And he also shared this with the reporters who were there at the news conference Thursday in Colorado, that he recalled thinking this would be a crappy way to die. All of that, he's cognizant of all of that as he's wrestling and pinning this mountain lion and trying to figure out a way to get it before it gets him. But I'm still struck by the fact that he realizes if I was wearing headphones when I was running, I never would have heard those pine needles rustling or heard the cracking of the stick behind me and realized that something was chasing me. Wow. Glad he's okay. And I couldn't help but smile when he said, when I realized a mountain lion was chasing me, I was pretty bummed out. Yes, again, glad that he survived. Unfortunate that the cat had to die, but better the cat than Kaufman if it had to come down to it. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Straight ahead, the Currys are planning on taking over Charlotte for All-Star Weekend. That's where we'll find Connor Letourneau, who covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. And he was there in the building last night at Oracle when Steve Kerr went ballistic. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, they are calling a flag or not green. And Steve Kerr can't believe it. Boy, you don't see Kerr. Oh! Kerr just threw his clipboard down. He's got one teeth. He's got two teeth. He's gone. I've watched Steve Kerr for a lot of years as a player and a coach. I'm not sure I've ever seen him this upset. That grease board has seen better days.
Steve Kerr got the earliest start to All-Star break of anybody else in the Warrior organization. And he did not handle that call well at all.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brian Wheeler, one of our favorite calls of the week, though it did come at Steve Kerr's expense, upset about a flagrant foul against Draymond Green on Wednesday night at Oracle, got ejected, got his groove on, and that was the call on the Blazers radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's much calmer now because we've hit the All-Star break. The NBA is dark until it gets to Charlotte. We're pleased to welcome Connor Letourneau, who is in Charlotte, was at Oracle on Wednesday night, made that trip cross country for the All-Star festivities. So let's start there, Connor. When Steve Kerr went ballistic and got upset about that flagrant foul, what was that scene like?
I've seen Steve get upset plenty of times. I'm not sure I've ever seen him get that upset. That was a different level. I mean, he's known to throw down the clipboard, but he was stomping right toward the referee, needed to be held back by KD. It seemed like he knew he was going to get ejected, so he was going to get his money's worth. He knew he was going to get fined, so might as well go all in. Obviously got a $25,000 fine today, which was much deserved. But, you know, by the time he talked to us post-game, he was calmed down, he was joking, he was sarcastic, so... nothing that's going to linger.
I heard Tim Roy, who's the play-by-play voice on the Warriors radio network. This was Sunday night when a couple of guys got technical fouls, and he referred to it as a grumpy time of the year in the NBA because the All-Star game is late this year and guys just want to get away from each other. So from inside the Warriors little hub, how much do they need this break?
I think they need it for sure. I mean, the injection of DeMarcus Cousins last month definitely kind of helped stave off the midseason doldrums a little bit. You remember this time last season, they were kind of in the dog days for over a month at this point. But because of the addition of DeMarcus, they've only really been feeling it for, I would say, a week or two. The last few games that you can tell they've had a tough time getting up for it. They've been ready for the All-Star break. Draymond Green, who didn't make the All-Star team for the first time in 4 years, openly said he would rather go on vacation than go to All-Star. He just needs a break that much. So I think everyone who's not going to be in Charlotte is excited to get a little bit of R&R, because the reality is they're almost definitely going to be playing until June again. So, you know, it's a long season.
I remember this time last year, Coach Kerr referred to their effort as pathetic. He was pretty ticked off as they were heading into the All-Star break. At this point, they're the only team in the Western Conference that has 40-plus wins. How would you describe the way they've played over this stretch where they've won 16 of 7? I guess now it's 16 of 18 with the loss last night.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is they haven't been playing their best basketball, at least, you know, I would say the past 6 or 7 games. Before that, they were really in a groove. They were playing their best basketball of the season. They're clicking on all cylinders, both offensively and defensively. I think DeMarcus Cousins has kind of exceeded even his own expectations in terms of how quickly he's been able to come back from that Achilles injury. But like we just talked about, I think that the dog days are starting to get to him, and so they're just having a tougher time getting up, especially in the start of games. You know, you've seen them dig early deficits against teams like a depleted Spurs team in Phoenix, obviously the worst team in the West. So I don't think it's anything to worry about, though. They're feeling good about where they are right now.
Connor Letourneau covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. He was in the Bay Area last night and is now in Charlotte getting set for this All-Star weekend coming up. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What does it mean to Steph Curry to be back in Charlotte for these few days of All-Star weekend?
Yeah, that's going to be the big story, obviously, is Steph's homecoming. He's kind of the unofficial ambassador of the weekend. Wrote about that today. You know, he obviously has really deep roots in Charlotte. Not only did he grow up here and go to high school here and was the son of Del Curry, who's one of the greats for the Charlotte Hornets, but he went to college, you know, just 20 minutes north of the city in Davidson. So he really spent pretty much his whole life here until he got drafted by the Warriors. And he's still very close with a lot of people around town. You know, Charlotte, if you've been here, it's a big city, but it has kind of a small town vibe. Mm-hmm. People know each other. So I think he's really excited. He's really busy this week, and not only is he participating in the All-Star game and the three-point contest against his little brother Seth, but you know, he's got some community service stuff. He's going to a banquet honoring his dad. He's going stopping by his high school. He's going up to Davidson for a game. So he's got a lot going on.
And I can imagine there's family and friends around too, just because he's there.
Yeah, he said that he has, you know, close to 100 ticket requests out.
Whoa.
You know, the entire 121 section of Spectrum Center is going to be filled with his family and friends pretty much.
Wow, we'll have to keep our eyes up for that. So this is interesting to me. Kevin Durant, just about a week ago this time, he was in a situation where he wasn't really talking, and then he finally kind of blurted out why he was so ticked at the media and why he was being silent and, you know, just having to deal with the constant questions about him and his future and what happens next and whether he's going to the Knicks. Over the last week, has there been a ceasefire declared?
Yeah, I think he kind of got what he needed to say off of his chest, but I will say that he's still been pretty terse. You know, he hasn't been that candid, introspective Kevin Durant that we've seen at a lot of different times throughout his career. I think he's just kind of a little jaded by the media. You know, he feels like they haven't been fair, or I should say we, because I am a member of the media. We haven't been fair about how we've covered his pending free agency. Part of me sees where he's coming from. Part of me doesn't really. You know, what he said during that press conference was, "I just want to play basketball and go home," which, as you know, that's not really how the NBA works. That's not how his job works. You know, he is contractually obligated to speak to us for good reason. So he's talking to us now, but I don't think he's excited about it.
How prolific are the questions at this point, the dog days of February, where, I mean, they still got a long way to go before any of this comes up again? How much is he hearing them?
You know, he's honestly not hearing them as much as you would think. That's kind of part of this narrative that I think is getting lost, is that, you know, he came out and said in that presser, "You guys are coming out and you're asking me every day, you're asking my teammates, my coaches, I'm rallying the fans up." The reality is, he was only asked about free agency during preseason, and then he said he didn't want to talk about it anymore, and the local media stopped asking him about it. And then he was asked by New York media, understandably, before the two Knicks games. And then outside of that, that was really it. And then he went silent for those 8 days when, you know, the report started to surface linking him to New York. So it's not like he's been asked about it every day. And since he said that he didn't want to talk about it last week, he hasn't been asked about it again.
Connor Letourneau is in Charlotte getting set to cover Steph Curry's All-Star Weekend for the San Francisco Chronicle. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, except that what about the beginning of the year when that whole locker room blow-up happened? There had to be questions around his future then, considering that Draymond and others were upset thinking that he was already 1 foot out the door.
Yeah, fair enough. That was the one other time that I forgot to mention just now. That was one time where he was asked about it. He only asked about it, I think, once, maybe twice after that. There was obviously a lot of speculation because part of the issue was that Draymond called him out for thinking that Durant was leaving, and there were reports that Durant said, "Oh, this is why I'm leaving, this is why I'm out." So that was definitely a topic then, and he was asked about it, but he shot that down pretty quickly, and it, you know, the bigger speculation at that time was not so much about his free agency, but about his relationship with Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
That was the major storyline at that time.
And how is it now?
I think it's better. You know, I don't think they're hanging out in their free time. I don't think they're like best buddies or anything. But they are, you know, solid coworkers is how I would put it. I think they get along well enough to cohabitate and help the team win, you know, which the reality is that's how most NBA locker rooms are. It's a work environment. I think a lot of NBA fans think that all these guys are best friends and hanging out in their free time, and that's just not how it is. It's like any coworker situation, you know?
Were they ever in a situation where they were hanging out?
I think they were, yeah, earlier in Durant's tenure, and that has changed, I believe.
How come people don't care nearly as much about what Klay Thompson is doing?
Well, for one thing, I think everyone's pretty confident that Clay's going to come back. Clay has said many times he intends to play out his career with Golden State. The only question would be if Golden State didn't give him a max offer, he would maybe think about other options because he thinks he's a max-level player, which he is a max-level player, and I think the Warriors are smart enough to realize that. There's no way they're not going to offer him a max deal, and I don't think there's going to be any issue there.
One of my favorite moments of this entire season was when they had Lakers fans in the building who were saying, "We want Clay," and Steve Kerr laughs about it afterwards and indicates that he'd be saying that too if he was with them.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame them. They want someone to pair with LeBron, and I can't think of anyone that would be better. A guy who doesn't demand the ball, a guy who doesn't demand the spotlight. You know, he could coexist with LeBron as well as anyone.
All right, so before I let you go, I think every team has an Achilles heel, a fatal flaw, so to speak. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to manifest itself, and the Warriors are pretty good at masking theirs. But what's their weakness this year?
You know, that's a good one. There isn't a glaring one. I would say early in the season, their defense wasn't where they wanted it to be, but that's gotten a lot better. Lately, it's been just the slow starts. They haven't been locked in, dialed in to start games. And if you remember last year, that was an issue even into the playoffs. So even with DeMarcus, I could see that being a problem. The most surprising stat to me right now is that starting lineup with five All-Stars is actually a negative four in their time together.
Wow.
Plus minus, which is crazy. So that group needs to play better for them to do what they want to do in the playoffs.
That's interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that number. You can find Connor on Twitter at @con_cron. I like it. Connor Letourneau covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle and is with the three All-Stars in Charlotte for the weekend. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.